Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 186. Today on the seventh day of August and the 15th day of Av, what I wanted to talk about today is the 15th day of Av. Talia Chag Sameach. Happy holiday. We know if you were in Shul this morning or yesterday afternoon, there is no Tachnun said today because it's a holiday of some sort. And the origin for this holiday is the last Mishnah in Maseches Tanis, after it talks about the Churban and the fasts of the Beis HaMikdash and revolving around the destruction of it. So it says in Mishnah Ches, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, lo hayo yomim tovim liyisrael kechamisha asar ba'av uchiyom ha-kippurim. So there were no greater days in the Jewish calendar for the Jewish people like the 15th day of Av and Yom Kippur. So that's like a really interesting comparison just to begin with, to imagine that these were the greatest days on the Jewish calendar. Shebehen, for on those days, Benos Yerushalayim Yotzos Bechli Lavan Sheulin, the young Jewish maidens would go out in borrowed white clothing. The reason it would be borrowed is so that everybody would have, people would generally borrow from somebody whose social status was less than them. So everybody was wearing something which was less than what they were used to, so that you wouldn't have like the rich borrowing from the rich and the poor borrowing from the poor. But everybody would, you know, mix it all up. Shelo levayeshes mi she'enlo, so as the Mishnah says, to not embarrass each other. And so there would be some sort of celebration where the girls would go out and they would be dressed up nicely, but not quite too nicely, so as to marginalize them from others, call Kalim Tun and Tevila, and also because of the borrowing and everybody taking from everybody else, everything would require Tevila. Remember, this is a time where they were living with Tumah and Tahara. This is a part of their life, their purity and impurity, and so things would have to be Tovil, they would have to be put in a mikvah to make sure that they were pure. So because of all of the trading back and forth, you would have to make sure that it was pure as well. So here, as well, call Hakilim to Unin Tevila, everything would need to be immersed. They would go out, the maidens, the young daughters of Jerusalem would go out, and they would dance in the vineyards. And this is, you know, interesting. Umehayu Omros, what would they say? Bachur, young man, Sana Enecha Ure'e, lift up your eyes and see ma'ata varerlach, what you have chosen, what you are choosing for yourself. Al ti tein einecha banoi, tein einecha b'mishpacha. Do not consider beauty. Look at mishpacha instead, whatever mishpacha, a Torah mishpacha, good values or good people. Don't look at just the superficial. Look at, you know, the family. Look at what we've built. Sheker hachein vehevel hayofi yishayiras Hashem yitasalo, quotes the pasuk in Proverbs and Mishlei that says grace is false and beauty is vain. A woman who fears Hashem, she shall be praised. That's the most important value. V'yomer tenu la mipriyodeha v'yalu b'shar maseha, give her but the fruits of her own hands and let her be praised in the gates of her very own deeds. And it's not any of the most important thing is Yishiras Hashem. It's about working for the sake of heaven. Those are the real priyodeh, those are the real fruits. And so this was sort of the pitch. The Gemara says that pretty much all the girls would say the things that were appropriate to them. And so the Gemara says everybody would say their own pitch and would specifically try to make themselves look and appear attractive in the eyes of the young men who were looking. And so this day has become associated with this sort of celebration where it would be revolving around Shidduchim for some reason, that people would get together and make matches, and particularly the girls would go out there and dance. They have this thing nowadays, Tuba of dancing parties. It's become like this modern Yom Ahava, like a Valentine's Day, as it were, in Israel, but that's not really what it's about. What is it all about is something which is not at all made obvious in this Mishnah, right? The Mishnah specifically is talking about what this practice was, and this practice was a reaction to the fact that Lo Hayo Yomim Tovim LiYisrael, there were no greater days and more joyous days like Yom Kippur and this. It's difficult to understand how they could both be put into the same sentence. And so the Gemara explains a bunch of different reasons for why it is that this day was seen as so important and so special. So I'll just read you the Gemara. It's the final Gemara in Tainus. And so the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, quotes the Mishnah. So it says, Bishleim Yom HaKippurim, I understand why Yom Kippur would be seen as so joyous in the eyes of the Jews. Mishum de'ispes licho mechila, because it has forgiveness, it has pardon. You know, it's the day which is when Moshe finally came down with the second tablets, with the second luchos, and it represents the day of absolution, the day of forgiveness. It's the day where we can begin again. It's a very joyous opportunity to be able to give again. But Elatubaav, like Mahi, what's so joyous about the 15th? And we're assuming there needs to be some meaning to it, right? It can't just be, hey, I don't know, it's just the day we picked to party, something arbitrary. We assume that it's going to have some meaning. And so the Gemara gives a bunch of different reasons. So one explanation is Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel. He says it's Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebazeh. It was the day that the tribes were permitted to intermarry. What is this talking about? So this is talking about that in generation 1.0 of the Jews settling the land of Israel, there was a rule that they could only marry within their tribe. It's a whole discussion. Take a look at the end of Parshas Maaseh, where B'nos Tzlafchad upend things a little bit because they figure out there are no men to inherit, and then they figure out that they're the ones who are going to inherit. But then there's a question that comes up, what if they get married? And so in the beginning, the first rule was that women would only be allowed to marry men within their tribes, and I guess vice versa. But that rule was changed after they settled the land. The goal of the rule was to keep, let's say, the tribe of Menashe, in that example, and their area distinct from Menashe in that area, so that nothing would change. But once it was settled, conquered and settled, that rule was changed, and people would be allowed to marry out, even if that would mean that the property in Eretz Yisrael would switch hands. And so that's a day associated with unity, togetherness, non-divisiveness. And so the Shaduchim idea also, you can understand that, you know, that's why people would go and get married. The pool would open up very wide because now people could marry in all of the different tribes. They could choose what they wanted, who they wanted. And so this, the tradition has, it happened on Tu B'Av, and that's why, according to Yehuda, quoting Shmuel, that's the reason Tu B'Av is a big celebration. Okay, good. That's one explanation. Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Yom Shekalu Bo Meisei Midbar. He says that it's the day that the people in the desert who are decreed to die, those between 20 and 60 at the time of the sin of the Meraglim, who are going to live their lives and end their lives in the desert before making it to Eretz Yisrael, every year they would dig graves on Tisha B'Av. It's a pretty grim type of thing, but every year there were the graves of people of that age, and they would lay down in the graves on Tisha B'Av, on the ninth day of Av, and whoever would wake up, whoever didn't wake up, did not wake up. So one year on the 40th year, they thought that the calculation started from the Tisha B'Av after the Schein HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies, but really it started from the Tisha B'Av before that, and so they went into the graves and nothing happened. They thought they had the date wrong. They went into the graves and nothing happened again and again until finally the full moon was visible. That's Tu B'Av, and they realized, oh, that's it, the death is over. Now the Gemara says it's not about the death so much ending as about the connection that Moshe had to God. During that period of time, the connection that Moshe had was weakened. Things were not as obvious. The way that they communicated was not as clear. And so that changed after the chet was done with, after that sin had been dealt with. And so that's why it's such a significant idea. The reason this is also significant, of course, is because this finds itself at the end of Tanis, after talking about the fast, after talking about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the celebration of Tu B'Av is really the resolution of the historical sin which caused the problem of Tisha B'Av, right? Tisha B'Av, this ninth day of Av, is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which comes because of the sin of the spies and the lack of gratitude and lack of appreciation of Eretz Yisrael. And the resolution of that 40 years later comes on Tu B'Av. And so you understand the connection over here, how the resolution, the celebration, is really the antithesis of the destruction of Tisha B'Av. Tu B'Av is the antidote, not just on the calendar, but actually the antidote, one for the other. Okay, so that's another idea. Another explanation that's given is Yom Shebitel Hoshea ben Ela, the day that Hoshea ben Ela, who was the king in the north after the tribes separated, the 10 tribes from the 2 tribes, and Yeravam ben Nevat had set up sentries, and he had set up fences, gates along the road, so people couldn't go down to Yerushalayim, which was in the southern kingdom, to worship. And so this king, who wasn't such a great guy, but this king went and allowed people to worship as they were. He was very liberal. He allowed worship however you wanted, so people were able to access the Beis HaMikdash. And so again, we have this reference to the Beis HaMikdash. We have this idea that's why it was a celebration. It was a celebration because the permitted worship that was now accessible in the south. Now, that doesn't really have anything to do with Shaduchim, but okay. Rav Masna says it was the Yom Shenitna Haruge Beitar L'Kvura, the Jews of Beitar, who were killed 65 years after the destruction of the Second Temple, the last stand with Bar Kokhba. So those Jews were allowed to be buried on this day on Tu B'Av, and as the Gemara reports, they hadn't decomposed yet. They were not hisriach. They were not. They were finally buried, and so that's why we have the bracha of Hatova Hametiv. And benching was a very big deal, and it was again a little bit of a consolation from the destruction. So that would also make sense of why it follows. Another explanation the Gemara gives is that it has to do with when they would stop cutting the wood for the trees for the pyre on top of the Mizbeach, and at this point in the summer, they could reliably assume that the sun was strong enough that after they'd cut, they would dry out so they wouldn't become wormy, because wormy wood wasn't allowed. It's very difficult to understand why this would be something which we would celebrate, Lo Hayu Yomim Tovim LiYisrael, but in any event, whether it's the resolution of the destruction, or it's the opportunity for tribes to get together, to marry, to meet people, either way, everybody have a good Yantif. Chag Sameach, bye-bye.